All right. So to give you all a little bit of direction as to where we are heading over the next couple of several weeks in terms of a sermon series, we are going to be doing a sermon series called He Is Risen, just a short couple week sermon series talking about Jesus' post-resurrection. From there, we're going to go into a couple of Sundays where we're recognizing some people, our elders, our seniors, and moms. We're getting really close to all of those things. And then we're going to go into a sermon series on 1 John. And after that, I don't know. So we'll see. But that's the direction we're heading in for the next couple of months, at least. So we're picking up today in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are a people who should be so grateful. We have received much. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be that. That you would help us to be a people who are full of gratitude. A people that are full of thanksgiving, and that everywhere we go, that we will be praising you and praising your name. We pray that as we dive into this post-resurrection account this morning, that you would help us to see the power in a risen God. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So as I said, this is going to be a short series. He is risen, talking about Jesus after his resurrection. Today, there's going to be 4 points that we're taking. So if you're taking notes, you can number 1 through 4. But I've said that before and had said that they were going to do 4 points and only had 3 points, or vice versa. But today, I think we actually have 4 points. Last week, the refrain from last week was that God rolls stones away. That he rolls the stones away in our lives and the lives of others. That he moves the stones so that we can see the evidence that he is risen. And so last week we saw that the stone was rolled away not so Jesus could get out of the tomb, but so that the women could enter in. That Jesus didn't need a stone to be rolled away in order for him to leave the tomb. And this week, we have kind of a similar account of where these disciples are in a locked room, and Jesus miraculously appears with them. And so the disciples they're hiding out. They're hiding out together. They're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to get arrested, that they'll be persecuted, that they will suffer the same fate as Jesus. And so they've locked themselves away, because that's exactly what Jesus told them to do, right? And he said, you know, go and hide. Be my disciples and go and hide out of fear. Nonetheless, that's what they were doing. And so we have this this picture of Jesus showing up, and twice he says, peace be with you, shalom, my peace I give you. And really what this is demonstrating to us is that the Lord shows up where he wills, often in a mode that is beyond comprehension. And it is, you know, and so we could speculate all we want how Jesus entered into this room. Did he like materialize there? Did he somehow, you know, sneak in? How did he get in there? And we're not told. We don't know the method that Jesus used to get in the room. We simply know that he was powerful enough that nothing, not even locked doors, stopped him from getting in. And so Jesus goes in amongst his disciples, and he says, peace be with you. You know, this is, we see frequently when, you know, angels throughout Scripture appear, that they say, fear not. Fear not. This proclamation from Jesus is even, you know, it's the peace contained in that is the fear not. Peace be with you. And, you know, this is a customary greeting, the shalom. It's when you would have met somebody on the street or as you ventured to their house, or it's, you know, shalom. You know, hello, hi, peace be with you. But contained in these words is even more than that. You know, the disciples are hiding out of fear, and Jesus is saying, put all of your fear away. What I have come to do is done. You're hiding out of fear, and you don't realize that I have conquered everything that you really should be afraid of. That I have conquered sin and death. That when I hung upon the cross and I said, it is finished, that it is finished. This is what Jesus is communicating to his disciples, to put all of that fear away. Everything that Jesus had told them has come true. So twice, peace be with you. And then it says that he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And so we have this, you know, Jesus showing up miraculously and then saying this phrasing. It's a little bit confusing. And it's especially a little bit confusing for us as Christians now, because, you know, for many of us, it was, well, wait, I thought the Holy Spirit didn't come until Pentecost. Well, yes and no. We'll talk more about that because Pentecost is coming. But here, Jesus is empowering, he's recommissioning his disciples. You know, he could have condemned them. He could have, you know, shaken his finger at them. He could have used his familiar comment, oh, you of little faith, to his disciples. Why are you hiding? You know, like, do you not get it? Like, you have already been told that I have been risen. Like, the women, they, like, have seen me, and you're still hiding. But instead, he recommissions them, and he highlights really what is the most important part of his ministry. Yes, Jesus came to feed people, to heal people, to be amongst the people, you know, teaching them. He raised people from the dead. He fed thousands. But that wasn't the main point of his ministry. The main point of Jesus' ministry was the forgiveness of sins. And so as he speaks to his disciples and he says, as you forgive people, they will be forgiven. And what he's talking about is this idea that the preaching of the good news and declaring the effects of it, and for those who believe in it, will experience forgiveness. And rejecting it, no forgiveness. So as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, we are to model after everything that he does. We are to picture or make our lives really a reflection of Jesus. And so we know that we're supposed to do things like care for the poor, you know, help widows in their distress, to do good things for people, to serve people, to preach the good news of the gospel. But here it's taken to that next step, that Jesus is saying that we are to forgive the sins of people. What's key to note here is that this is said after the Holy Spirit has been breathed on them. And so this is not through their power, but this is through the power that is offered through God. Because God forgives sins. We simply make the proclamation. And so if people hear the gospel and they repent, it is right and appropriate for us to say, you are forgiven. Because as we preach the fullness of the gospel and our lives fully reflect Jesus, is that not something that Jesus would do? As Jesus would say, your sins are forgiven. And then on the flip side of that, as if we're sharing the good news of the gospel with someone, and they say, I am not going to believe it, then we also say have to warn them of the consequences of what it looks like to not be forgiven. And so Jesus is inviting his disciples and us into this idea of following after him. Missing from this whole conversation is Thomas. We don't know exactly why. Maybe he was off doing something else. Maybe he was doing some errands. Whatever. But he says, I'm not going to believe until I have proof. And 8 days later, Jesus shows up and he says, well, here's your proof. Do everything that you said that you needed to do in order to believe in me. You know, check it out. I really have the holes in my hands. I really have the wound in my side. It is very much me. And so Thomas doubts, but he immediately declares who Jesus is. Not just his friend, not just his Savior, but his God. And Jesus, you know, he commends him. He says, yes, you are right in saying this, but he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know, Thomas, you know, some commentators say that, you know, Thomas asks the question or asks for the proof of the generations. That this is the same thing that many of us, that for generations upon generations, have asked of God. Where's the proof? Where is the proof that you exist? And we seek it, we look for it, we look to things like science and evidence and rationale to prove the existence of God. Here Jesus says, blessed are those who believe in me without seeing. Elsewhere, Jesus says, blessed are those who come to me as little children, who believe in me like little children. Children have a tendency to believe things simply because you tell them that they are true. Jesus invites us to have that same type of faith, where we believe in him because we have been told the truth. So all of this has applications and implications for our life. First of all, God has the ability to show up in our lives no matter where we are. It doesn't matter what you're doing or what you've done or what's being done to you or what doors you've locked yourself behind. It doesn't matter what fears you might have or any other emotion, but God has the power to step into your life wherever you are, no matter what doors or chains or locks that you have put in place. Is that He can step in and begin to work. And that He extends you the same peace that He offered His disciples, saying, "It is done. Peace be with you. Fear no more. There is nothing that this world can do to you that can diminish the fact that I have come to save you." And if we are saved and we believe in that, then we need to preach the fullness of the gospel. We need to tell people that He has come to rescue them and offer them forgiveness of their sins and to assure people of that forgiveness. That He paid the price in order that our sin and shame might fall away. That we can call ourselves sons and daughters of the Most High King. Your sins are forgiven. And blessed are we. We have not seen God. We have not seen Jesus. We've seen His evidence, have we not? We have. But we have not seen Him. And so blessed are we. Because we believe without seeing. Friends, that is my prayer for us this morning. Is that our faith would increase more and more as we believe even without seeing, in order that we might share that belief. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for the peace that You leave with us. Thank You for meeting us wherever we are. We pray that You would help us, that You would empower us to preach the fullness of the gospel and to be reminded of just how blessed that we are. We thank You, we praise You, and we pray these things in Your Son's holy name. Amen.